I don't want you to leave without receiving a message. Every week, I give you a message. I give you a message for a couple reasons. One, we want to understand better how the kingdom of God works so that we can work in alignment with it. Number two, I want to inspire you. We need to be inspired. We need to be encouraged because, you know, sometimes we get kind of down and we need something to lift us up. We need something to say, okay, take one more step. I'm almost there. You know, you're just about there. Take another step. And sometimes you need that encouragement. And you also need the camaraderie of the other people that are here with you to know that you're not alone on this journey. God never put us here to be alone on the journey. He wants us working together. I think the more that we can call upon other people who are working with God, the greater the power and the force of God starts to work in our life. I want you to know you're not alone as you walk on your journey with God, as you live your life. God has surrounded you with people to assist you and help you in amazing ways. And when you begin to rely on them, when you begin to call upon them, and it might be something simple like just texting them and saying, I need a prayer. The fact that you know that someone is now thinking of you and praying for you and calling the angels of heaven down to surround you and fill you might be what you needed for that day, for that moment. But I want you to know that you're not on this journey alone. We're working together. We're working together, and that's why we're coming here to Golden Heart, to be inspired and to learn how the kingdom of God works and be in that camaraderie with each other so that we can reach new heights. God doesn't want us to race to the top of the mountain by ourselves and say, hey, look, I made it. It's about helping other people, lifting them up as well. If I can reach down and pull somebody to a greater height, then they're going to be there for me if I stumble and I need help getting back up. You know, so we will get there together. And that's very important. Now, today's message is called, Sow a Seed to Fill a Need. Sow a seed to fill a need. Now, this is a very important concept in the kingdom of God, and I want you to understand how it works. Before we get into that, though, I want to lay a little bit of groundwork so we can start to understand. But that is the message, really, in a nutshell, right there in the title. Sow a seed to fill a need. Now, many of us have needs. There are things that we need. Sometimes we need comforting when we're sad or lonely. Sometimes we need healing when we have the sniffles or we're sick and not feeling good. Sometimes we need help, you know, because we're moving and we have to call the friends to come over. We have certain needs. Sometimes they're big needs and sometimes they're small needs, but everybody has things that they need. I think that a lot of times we have to understand the proper way to have our needs met. I think as when we were young, we found ways to try to get our needs met. You know, and we found ways that sometimes they were sneaky, sometimes they were direct, sometimes, you know, it was just our way of getting more attention, you know, that we started using to try to get our needs met. But really, God has a way to meet our needs. One of the things we have to understand, though, first and foremost, before we get into that and how the kingdom of God works, is that God has already filled your needs. God has provided for you. God is your provider. And I want you to really start to understand, we gotta change our minds to see where our provision is coming from. If we think our provider is our paycheck, then our attention is always there on the job, always there on the boss, always wanting to please them, always, you know, and it's not bad to be on time and to do a good job, of course not, but we got to understand that that's a very kind of narrow window that we're looking at. It's almost like tunnel vision. All we see is this is where my prosperity is coming from. This is who is taking care of me. And that's quite different than when you get the understanding that God is my provider. When God becomes your provider, now the doorways open, the opportunities open, and everywhere God can bring provision in. Now, He has already laid up everything you need. He has already provided it and laid it up for you. He wants you to have amazing, amazing things. I want to go to a few verses here so we can really understand the plan of God. And God's got a plan, and He's got a plan for you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God's got a plan for you to succeed and prosper in all situations, at all times, all the time. I mean, we're not talking some of the time, we're talking all the time. We've got to open our mind to understanding that God's got this plan. And this plan is for you. And this plan is to benefit you. And that's what He wants more than anything else. He has already provided it. He has laid it up. And it's waiting for you. And if we don't understand that, if we think our paycheck is our provider, or we think my parents are my provider, which sometimes we get into that even when we get into our 30s, 40s, and even 50s, some people think my parents are my provider. We don't open the way for God to begin to pour out His blessing and resources upon us in a supernatural way. And we want to be able to do that. We want to get in alignment with what He's got going on. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, here's what He's saying. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He wants to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan for you to have a great life. That's what His plan is. I know sometimes thoughts try to come in and say, "Oh, God's got it out for me. He's punishing me for this, or He's after me for that, and He's going to bless other people, but not me." This is for you. This is for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He's not thinking evil of you. His thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. And here in Matthew 6, here's what it says in Matthew 6, 31. "Therefore, do not worry." Now, this was Jesus talking. Jesus is telling you about the kingdom of God, and He is saying, you don't have to worry. So listen to this. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things." So Jesus is telling you, don't worry about it. God knows that you need this. And this is something we got to understand. Is not only does He got a plan, He knows what you need. God knows what you need. He knows what you need even before you know. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Isn't that good to know? Have you ever been to a restaurant where the waiter seems to be psychic? They know what you want even before you think of it. They suddenly are bringing the ketchup. You haven't even thought you need ketchup yet. They're refilling your water glass. You didn't even notice you were getting to the bottom yet. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? If you've had that feeling, that's wonderful. I love that. When I'm sitting there, I'm just like, oh, wow, yeah, water. Yes, I did need more water. Oh, wow, thank you for bringing that salt. Yes, it's a great feeling. Well, that's how God is. God knows what you need even before you know you need it. He's already provided it. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't get caught up in thinking about everything you need and worrying about all that stuff. God has provided for you. It's already there. We don't have to worry. God's got a plan, and it's a good one. Here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Amen. Say amen to that. He's going to supply all your needs. All your needs. I love that. That means He's going to provide everything for you. God is our provider. We got to understand, God is our provider. God's got a plan. We don't have to worry. He already knows what we need before we know. And He's going to provide it for us. He's going to provide all that we need. Now, sometimes I think people spend a lot of time, and this is when they don't understand that God's got it already figured out, that God's already ahead of you. Sometimes we spend a lot of time talking to God about what we need. We're telling Him what we need and when we need it and where we need it and how much we need of it. And there's some people, that's all they talk about with God, is everything they need. I got to tell you, that's a waste of time. It really is. If God already knows what you need, He knows how much you need of it. He knows when you need it. He's aware of that. He's already aware of that. So don't waste your time talking to God about what you need when He's already got the plan figured out. He already knows you've got needs. He knows you need things. He knows if we're living in this physical life that there's things we need, you know, and He's provided it for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." You can't even conceive. You've never heard of it. You've never seen how incredible the things that God has planned for you are. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I mean, this is good stuff right here. God has provided for you your needs. He already knows what they are. What He has provided is incredible. It's saying here, you couldn't even imagine it, really. It's saying there's nobody that's ever heard or seen the magnificent things that God has planned for you. And that's you. It's for you right now. I don't want you to say, well, that's not me. No, that is you. Say, that's me.
That's me.
That's me. We want to know that. Now, God knows that we have needs, and He's provided those needs. Now, Jesus had needs when He walked on the earth, because He was here in this physical realm, and when you're here, we need stuff, right? But God knows, and I love how Jesus got His needs met. This was pretty interesting. Remember, there was one time Him and Peter, they were there in the temple, and they had to pay a temple tax. And so what did Jesus say? Jesus said, Peter, go down to the sea over there and cast a hook into the sea, and the first fish you catch, open its mouth and take out the coin that's in there and bring it back to pay the temple tax. Peter goes down to the sea, he throws a hook in, he catches a fish, he looks in its mouth. To his surprise, I don't know, maybe he wasn't surprised. Maybe by this point he realizes, Jesus said something, it's going to happen. And he opens the mouth, and sure enough, there's a coin in its mouth, comes back, pays the temple tax. See, Jesus had a need, it's already provided for. You just have to be able to hear the Spirit of God telling you, where is the provision? Where is the solution for this need? I have a need to pay the temple tax, Jesus has, right? But He doesn't think like we do. Why? He already said He doesn't worry about it. He's not busy. If you got your mind cluttered with worrying about where this is going to come from, how am I going to do this? I don't have enough. If you're busy worrying about all that, your mind is all cluttered up. It's not going to hear the Spirit of God speaking to you and telling you where the solution is. Jesus doesn't worry about that stuff because He already knows what I'm trying to tell you today. That God's got a plan. It's a great plan. It's a magnificent plan. People can't even imagine how good it is. And He's got this plan. So Jesus is not worried. Instead, He knows there's already a solution to every single need He's got. There's a solution already provided. And by that, it puts Him in a frame of mind now where He can hear the Spirit of God. Because remember, He said, it's the Spirit on the inside doing the work. He's not overworking Himself. He's letting the Spirit on the inside lead and guide Him to where the solution is. The solution's already there. If we can get into that state where we're not cluttering our mind with worry, and realize that we are provided for, now we can have that kind of clarity where now the Spirit speaks to us and we hear the Spirit, just like Jesus did. Hey, Peter, our temple tax is over there in a fish's mouth. Just go over there and get it. It's that easy. Also, one time, Jesus had need of a ride. He was going into Jerusalem. He tells His disciples, He says, go into the town. You're going to come to this building. There's going to be a colt tied up there. Take it. If the owner says anything about it, just say, my Lord has need of it. He'll say, that's fine. They go in, they see this building, they see a young colt tied up there, they untie it, they begin to walk away. Guy goes, "Hey, wait a minute, what are you doing with my colt?" The Lord has need of it. Oh, okay, go ahead. See, it's already provided. Jesus needs a ride. Jesus needs a ride. Did you ever need a ride to get somewhere? Sometimes you spend more time worrying and thinking about how am I going to get this ride to get from point A to point B than you do actually going out and finding the source of that. Jesus already knows where his ride is. He knows where the ride is. He tells the disciples to go right there, and it's already been provided. That's God providing right there. See, Jesus had a need. You've got needs. You've got needs in your life. You've got needs to pay the rent. You've got needs for your health, for your strength, to feel loved and cared for. All of these things God has already provided. Jesus had needs too when he was here, and we see how easily they were filled. And they were filled that easy because his mind was hearing the Spirit of God, or he was hearing that Spirit on the inside. He wasn't cluttered by the situation. And this is what happened. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we're walking by sight, now we see the situation. We think, oh man, I really need a ride. I don't have enough money to pay for that colt. I mean, where are we going to get that money from? Oh, gee, well, do you have any money? No, I don't have any money either. Okay, well, neither of us have enough money to buy a colt. Well, how am I going to get this ride? I don't know. What do you think we should do? Well, let's go talk to Jerry. Maybe he knows, right? So you talk to, you know, and get all worked up about it and more stressed the more you talk about it. Instead, the solution is already there for you. It's already provided. And all you need to do is hear the Spirit of God lead you to the solution. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God is good. Now, there are other people in the Bible that had needs too, not just Jesus, you know. And we see that when they're in alignment with God, their needs are provided. It said, you know, it's said back here that those who love God, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. If we love him, and it says we should love God and we should love our neighbor, and if you've invited Jesus into your heart, now you're totally in alignment with that. That means you're one of the people they're talking about here. And the people that love God, we hear about them when we read the Bible. We hear stories, and we also see how they were provided for in supernatural ways. Another guy I'm thinking of is Elijah. I don't know if you remember the story of Elijah, but I remember there was a drought in the land. When there's a drought in the land, you can't run down to the Ralph store and pick up some groceries. There were no Ralph stores back then. There's a drought in the land. This is serious. That means there is going to be very little food. There won't be enough water because they're out there in a dry place already, and now there's a drought going on. It's going to be hard to get your needs met. Elijah had needs. He needs to eat. He needs to drink. You know, these are the things he needs, and God provides for him. Again, the voice of the Lord comes to him in the midst of this drought, and it says, I want you to go down to this brook over there. I've already arranged for you that the ravens are going to provide for you. They're going to provide bread and meat for you, and you can drink from the brook. Elijah hears the word of God, follows the word of God, and there he sits by the brook in the midst of this famine. He sits there by the brook, and everything he needs is provided. He gets bread and meat in the morning. He gets bread and meat in the evening. He drinks from the brook all day long. Everything he needed was provided. That was in the midst when a lot of other people were struggling. But the people of God don't have to struggle. Your needs are already met. God has provided for you. Now, the great thing is that it doesn't matter what the situation is. That's the point with Elijah. It doesn't matter what the situation is. We can be in an economic crisis. Every single news reporter in the world can be saying on the TV, and you've heard them say this, that the economy is crashing, everything is bad, everybody's in trouble. Not you. You're not in trouble, though. We don't want to fall into believing what they're saying. We want to remember what God said. God is providing for us. So Jesus had needs. Elijah has needs. You have needs. God provides for those needs. And now I want to go a little bit further. Let's talk about, here's a verse. This is a good one. I want to get to the point here because I want us to understand a concept, an important concept today, which was sow a seed, fill a need. You have a need. We already determined that. God has already provided for that need. And now we have to understand, how do we get that need fulfilled? And it's by sowing a seed. We cannot reap until we sow. In other words, we cannot receive the harvest until we plant the field. And that's the same thing in our life on all concepts. This is a very important concept of God, how the kingdom of God works. If we want to receive something, we've got to sow something. We've got to plant something in order to have something come back, right? So if you've got a need, and this works for any need that you've got, it doesn't matter what the need is. We've already talked about needing temple taxes. We've already talked about needing a ride, right? We already talked about needing some food in a difficult time. It doesn't matter what the need is. This will work for it because this is a principle, a kingdom principle, a principle of God that when you use it, it'll work. And in fact, even God himself used this same principle. It tells me that's how important it is. If God, now you may not have thought that God had a need. Did you know that God had a need? He had a need. And he used this very principle, which is part of his kingdom, because see, God can't work outside of his own kingdom. He can't go against what he created. You see, he has to do it the same way that we do it. If he does it differently, then he wouldn't be God. Because he has ordered it. It has been created in alignment with who he is and how he works. Every principle is the same way. Now, the need that God had, God's need was to reconcile with you, was to redeem you. And how did he do that? He had this need, and here's what he did. He sent his son. He sent his son, and here his son had to be sowed or planted in the ground. 3 days in a tomb. And this was for the whole purpose, in order to follow that concept. He had a need to reconcile with you. He had a need to redeem you. And he sowed a seed. He sowed, and now important concept of that is he sowed the best that he had. Anytime you have a need, the seed that you sow has to be the best. And so God got the best that he had, his own son. And he sowed him into the earth in order. And what did he get in return for it? He got a harvest of children, of many men and women in return. One son went in, but many sons and daughters came out as a result of that. You see what I'm saying here? He had to sow that one in order to receive the many. It's the same thing in our life. It's the same thing in our life too. And we want to sow the best. Let me read now even Jesus talked about this. He mentioned it when he was walking on the earth. Now, in John chapter 12 and verse 24, he says, "Most assuredly," says Jesus, "most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And this, he was talking about this. This happened a few verses before he predicted how he was going to die. And I think he was foretelling of the same thing, that this seed, this was the seed of God sent. Jesus is the seed of God sent. And it has to be planted. It had to die in order for us to be reborn, in order for us to grow, to become sons and daughters of God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we're now starting to see now a couple of concepts. So if you have a need in your life, you've got to sow a seed. Now, it doesn't have to be your firstborn. I'm not saying that. No, no. What we want to do is we want to be able to hear God, what he tells us. The first thing we have to know is it has to be, what is the best thing that you can sow a seed? It shouldn't be the leftovers. It should be the best of what you got. That's the way God worked. It was the best of what he had. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? Remember Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel ended up that Cain killed Abel, right? They were brothers. They were Adam and Eve's children, and Cain killed Abel. And you know, do you remember what the fight was all about, what the misunderstanding was? It was about their offering. It was about sowing a seed to God. And Abel had come, he had brought the best of his harvest, he had brought the best things that he had, and he gave them to God. He sowed a seed. And God looked at it, and he was well pleased with what Abel had. And I think, it didn't say in the Bible, but I think God must have blessed Abel because he brought that great seed and Abel received all this blessing. Now, Cain was a different story. When Cain came, he brought kind of the leftovers. He brought like the little, he was a herder of animals, and so he brought a little runt, I think. You know, that's going to die anyway. I can give that to God. It's like, you know, it's not going to make it. So he brought that to God and gave it. Well, God could see this wasn't the best that Cain had. This was just, you know, afterthought. He thought more of himself than he did of God. And so as a result of that, he didn't receive or see this increase of harvest. And now he was jealous. He was jealous of Abel and said, I don't like this. God gave him something, and I didn't get it, and so he killed his brother over it. That's what the whole fight was about. Did you know that? It was about sowing a seed. One guy did it correctly by sowing the best that he had, and the other guy just kind of gave the leftovers. So if you have a need, you want to sow a seed that's the best of what you got. Now, when I'm saying sowing a seed, what is it? What am I talking about? Am I talking about money? Not necessarily. You don't just have to give money. God might give you specific guidance that you've got a pair of shoes sitting in the closet, a great pair of shoes. Maybe they're Jimmy Choo shoes. I hear those are pretty good. I don't have any Jimmy Choo shoes, but maybe you do. Supposed to be good shoes, I hear. But anyway, maybe you got this great pair of shoes, and God says, there's a lady down the street that needs those. Go give them to her. But God, those are my Jimmy Choos. My Jimmy Choo shoes. But if you know, if you're believing for, maybe you're believing for a special pair of shoes for that wedding you're going to, because these Jimmy Choos don't match your outfit, and you know, man, that's going to be pretty expensive to get some more, but God starts to tell you, sow this seed. Give this lady the Jimmy Choos. You know what's going to happen? You're going to sow that into her life. She's going to be tickled pink. You know it, right? Right? She's going to be excited about it. But now you have opened the way for your need to be filled. You're going to go somewhere. Something's going to happen. Maybe you're in a store like Neiman Marcus or Barney's. I don't know. And you're going to get an incredible sale. You're going to get some amazing blessing. Who knows? Maybe somebody's going to come to your door and give you the exact shoes that you needed. We don't know how God is going to provide it, but we do know that when you sow that seed, God is going to bless you in an amazing way. He is going to bless you. Your increase is going to come. Just the same way as God sowed one son into the earth and got many, many sons and daughters. The same thing is going to happen with your shoes. You're going to get many, many shoes. What woman wouldn't love to have an entire closet filled with the best shoes ever? I don't know. I know Liza loves shoes. There's a lot of shoes in her closet. But I think I can't. I've never met one yet that doesn't love shoes. And I think that you would want to make that. You would want to sow that seed. I don't know if that's your need, but I'm just giving you an example. I want to give you something practical or something maybe you're thinking about that's like that. But that's the way God works with us. We have to give. So it doesn't have to be just money. But we do want to hear God guide us to that. You know, you just don't want to run down the street and give your Jimmy Choo's to anybody on the street. You want to hear God say, this is what I want you to do. Take this and give it. There's somebody out there that needs that. Where can you be a blessing? Where can I be a blessing is what you want to be asking God. And so our attention begins to shift. See, we need to change our attention from our needs to being, you know, to seeing where is the solution. If we can get ourselves focused on the solution, now God can begin to lead us. He can begin to guide us. The same way he was guiding Jesus to the solution and Elijah, he was guiding to the solution. We have to change our thinking, though, because if we're only focused on the need, we begin to worry. that we don't have it. Well, I already said God provided for you, so you don't have to worry. If he provided for you now, that means don't look at the need. Look at the solution. That's, you know, sometimes we got to also think about what do you work for? Because this will change how you think too. A lot of people say, well, I work for a living. No, you work for a giving. You work for a giving. See, think about that. That's a whole different thing. See, you're working so that God can increase you so that you now can be a blessing to more people. If you understand that, the more that you get that in your, you know, in your understanding that you're here to be a blessing and you're working for a giving instead of working for a living, now every time you have increase, you start to give. You start to sow it somewhere. If you start to sow, it's going to fall under the concept, sow a seed, fill a need. Pretty soon, your needs will be met. How do we get all of our needs met? By helping other people get their needs met. That's how the kingdom of God works, people. Say amen to that. I do think sometimes we get so focused on ourselves, so focused on what we're working for, and it's good to have goals. It's good to have goals, and it's good to be working towards something, but I think sometimes we get so focused on, got to get there, got to get that finished, that we get tunnel vision, and we stop seeing all the other people around us that God has put there for us to bless. We want to let our vision open up a little bit and realize, I haven't forgot my goal. I'm going to get to my goal, but I'm going to get to my goal by being a blessing. I'm going to get to my goal by being a giver. I'm going to get to my goal by sowing seeds wherever I go. And if we can hear the voice of God speaking to us, and you can, you hear the voice of God all the time. Just let that other clutter get out of the way. You'll hear it loud and clear. And now when you start hearing the voice of God, he'll be guiding you to the person that has a need over there and over here. And pretty soon you start sowing those seeds and all of your needs get met that way. Well, Ted, I don't have enough to sow seeds. I got barely enough to pay the rent. Some of you might be thinking that. I know I've heard that before when I talked about this. But you got to understand, if you think you don't have enough, the more that you don't sow the seed, the less you're going to have. You can't meet your needs. Now, you can struggle on your own and try to do it the way the world does, keep struggling and trying to get the needs met, or you can say, no, I want to do this God's way. I want to do this the way the kingdom of God. I mean, if it's good enough for God to do it that way, and it seems to have worked pretty well, I'm sure glad he did that. I feel better because he did. Because I before I knew, had Jesus in my heart, I know that I was kind of struggling in life, and I'm really glad that God did what he did so that I could feel better. And I know a lot of you can say the same thing. Amen. You'll feel better because of that. Now, let's go down to another verse here. I was reading this. Now, I've heard this a lot of times, and I'm sure you've heard this verse too. But God was kind of giving me a revelation on it and speaking in a different way about it. And this is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, this is Paul speaking, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord of Jesus. And he said, he's saying, Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, God was talking to me about as I was reading this last part, that it's more blessed to give than receive. Have you heard that before? Yeah, I've heard that before too. He started saying to me that you get more blessings by giving than you do by receiving. See, because it's working under the same concept of when you sow a seed, you fill a need. Every time you become the giver, you get more blessed. You can't outgive God. The more you give, the more he gives you. It's just increase. It's the way the kingdom of God works. Every time you go out there and give something, God gives back to you. And he increases it. It's not, you don't just receive one for one. You receive 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I think there's 1,000-fold. You know, it seems like it can go a lot further than that because God only sowed one seed and look how many children he got. You know, so it's got to go up a lot higher than 100, you know, is what I'm thinking. But this is the way it works. So Think about that now. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about it that way now, that if you're being a blessing, you're going to get more if you're doing that. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was an interesting revelation that God was giving me there. And here we can go. This is an important one too. In 2 Corinthians, we want to be following this as well. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Some important instruction there. We can give as we purpose in our heart, right? So according to what guidance we get, we want to give that way. But he says God loves a cheerful giver. We've got to be joyous about the giving. Don't be taking your Jimmy Choo's down there going, oh God, I'm going to give these shoes. I don't want to give these shoes. No, you go out there and you get excited about it. Whatever you're sowing into the kingdom of God, you should do it with praise and joy, thanking God. You should be focused already on the solution, the harvest that's coming. Don't be thinking about the seed that's dying in the ground that you're sowing, but be thinking about the harvest to come. You know, when a farmer goes out, and I know my father was a farmer, when he went out in the morning to sow the seed, I know he wasn't thinking, oh man, all this grain that's going in the ground is going to die. He wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking about the harvest that was going to come. I'm sure the whole time that, I never asked him, but I'm sure he was. The whole time he's out there driving the seeder, you know, in the field and getting all dusty and dirty, I'm sure he wasn't grumbling and say, oh man, all that seed's going to be, you know, rotting in the ground. I think he was probably picturing when fall comes, there's going to be a harvest. This whole field is going to be golden. There's going to be golden wheat blowing in the wind, ready to harvest. And now will be the time to go and get it. That's the same way we need to be thinking when we're going out there to sow our seed. Wherever God leads us, we need to be walking in that way. We need to be a cheerful giver. Because notice what it said about after we're a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You're going to have an abundance for every good work. In other words, you're going to have an abundance in order to bless, right? You're going to have an abundance. That means no shortage. You're going to have plenty so you can go out there and be a blessing, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. You're going to have an abundance so that you can go out there and give. And that's just by being a cheerful giver. Now, this is interesting, huh? That means if we're a cheerful giver, and we're going out, and we're wherever God is guiding us, we're giving and sowing our seed, we're going to have an abundance. If we have an abundance, now that means we have more to give. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. See that? I love the way God works. The more we're in alignment with Him, it just keeps increasing. It keeps multiplying. It keeps increasing. We got to get out of our tunnel vision of thinking what we need. Because when we're there, now it becomes a spiral of lack mentality. We just keep seeing what we don't have. We're talking to God about what we don't have. And we need to go the other way. We need to realize now is the time to sow a seed. Sow a seed and fill a need. Now is the time to remember to be a blessing, to be a giver, because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And be a cheerful giver so that God can increase us in abundance in all ways. Now, I want to leave you with one last quote here, because this is a good one. And I know when I'm talking about sowing a seed, it goes a step further than tithing. Because God, you know, you got your tithe that you give to God. But when you're sowing for a specific need. If you have a specific need or something that you're believing for, this is now we're starting to get very focused here. Maybe it's your healing. Maybe it's your business increasing. Maybe it's financial prosperity. Maybe it's a friend healing. But for that, now you ask God, what kind of seed should I sow in order to receive this? He's going to ask you to sow the best. You know, he's going to want you to go out there and give your best so that your harvest can be the best also. But listen to what it says here in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouses that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So we're talking about sowing, but he's also reminding us here, don't forget to tithe. Because if you are a cheerful giver and being a blessing, and you bring that tithe into the storehouse, into my house, he's saying, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour out such blessing on you. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
He's going to pour out such blessing on you that there will be no room to receive it. There won't be enough room to receive it, he's saying. I'm going to pour such blessing out on you. So when we sow into the kingdom of God, increase comes. When we sow the best that we got, when we sow with a joyous spirit, cheerful giver, he's going to pour more upon us. I love the fact that this is a concept of God that we've got to understand, the way kingdom of God works. We've got to get into understanding that we're working for a giving. We've got to understand that God has already provided for us in all ways. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We've got to understand that the more that we give and the more that we be a blessing to other people, the more that our needs are met so that we have an abundance in all things. In all ways. And that when we give to God, there we're going to get to the point where the windows of heaven open and there's going to be no room for you to even store what you've got. There's so much of it. Say amen to that.
Amen.